package amendments and issues. So, without further ado, why don't we move on at the top of the list with House Bill 3192 relating to the evidentiary privilege. Council?
House Bill 3192 creates a mediator-client privilege in the evidence code.
Okay, and there were amendments adopted and a hand-engrossed version of the bill available?
Yes, dash four amendments were adopted.
Okay, I don't recall any negative testimony on this, and it's my recollection that the folks who most concerned about this, including the Oregon Mediation Association and others, have signed off on these amendments. Is that your understanding?
Yeah.
Representative Bond?
Chairman, I would move the bill as amended to the floor with the good pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Bond moves House Bill 3192 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion on the motion or on the bill?
Yes.
If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bond?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Yes.
Hanlon? No.
Miller?
Aye.
Bringer?
Let's find Representative Dix.
There he is.
Representative Dix on 3192.
Aye.
Dix votes aye. Springer votes aye. Motion is adopted. Motion passes. Any volunteers?
I do, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Miller? Thank you.
Beautiful.
Okay, Senate Bill 368 relating to adoption.
Okay, Senate Bill 368 amends Oregon statutes to make the reporting requirements for adoptions applicable only to the adoption of minor children, but not in the case of adult adoptions.
Motion. Yes, Representative Bond?
Chairman, I would move the passage of Senate Bill 368 due pass.
Representative Bond moves Senate Bill 368 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hammond?
I think this bill merely eliminates the reporting requirements that in 1985 this legislature put on for reporting the costs of adoption and disclosing those matters.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose behind those statutes was to prohibit baby selling, to put it succinctly. That certainly wouldn't be true in the case of a grown person being adopted. And that's the purpose of the bill.
Okay. Is there further discussion on Senate Bill 368 or the motion? If not, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Aye. Motion's adopted. Representative Hanlon is asked to carry the matter. Thank you, Representative. Okay, the next bill is 860. Council?
Senate Bill 860 exempts homeowners and renters relief monies, refunds from the garnishment except by a government entity.
Representative Bond?
I would move Senate Bill 860 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Hey, Representative Bond, move Senate Bill 860 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Council, can you remind us what the Senate floor vote was on this?
Yes, they acted on April the 13th, 27 ayes, one excused and two away on legislative business.
Okay. Further discussion on 860 and the motion to the floor due pass? And if not, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Bringer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Any volunteers?
Carry it if you want.
Okay, thank you. Representative Bond will be the carrier on 860. Okay, Senate Bill 783. Council?
Senate Bill 783 deals with some guardianship provisions. Incapacitated person and visitor are defined more clearly. The contents of the report that's required of the visitor are set out in detail. the standard of proof required for the appointment of guardian is established as clear and convincing, and the notice that's required at the time of service is expanded. The rights of the alleged incapacitated person have to be set out.
Have we done anything yet?
Okay. Representative Hanlon?
Mr. Chair, this bill. I'd move the bill to pass to the floor.
As amended.
As amended, and they, I believe our amendments are dash two.
No, the dash three.
Dash three.
And those amendments are found attached to the measure summary. Representative Hanlon moves Senate Bill 783, being engrossed as amended to the floor with a D-pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Phillips.
I apologize for being late, however, but I did get good action out of the one of the Senate committees.
We won't ask for any of the gory details.
Good. Representative Hanlon, there was an issue of 15 versus 30 days, if I remember, on this bill. Is that resolved?
The bill was brought before us, and the amendments, the dash three amendments, came from, if I recall correctly, Counselor, you can correct me, the Oregon State Bar representative from the Inheritance Probate Division getting together with the advocates and agreeing on the matters presented in the amendments.
Actually, the amendments that they brought to us were the dash two amendments, and then the committee...
The committee did adopt. That's correct.
They deleted that one, the 15-day reduction provision.
And the 15-day...
They restored the 30 days.
Page 2, line 25. Okay.
Well, if the bar and the, everybody agreed on the 15 days on the dash 2 and came in on that, what was the committee's analysis of going against that recommendation and going back to the 30 days?
That there should be more notice than the 15 days was the sense of the committee on the issue. Where there's notice for a proceeding brought under ORS 126.007.
Well, okay. But why? That's the issue. Well, why do you need more notice? If the parties came in on the dash two, according to counsel anyway, I don't have dash two with me, and agreed on the 15 days, then why did you, what was the justification for thinking there needed to be more notification? Testimony? Reason to believe, felt good?
I think the original testimony that we had from the advocates of the bill was that the 30-day notice provision was what they preferred in order to have adequate notice under the proceeding. Counsel, if I might just ask, the notice... Oh, well, in the notice under this section regarding the appointment or regarding proceedings relating to the appointment of a guardian from all of ORS Chapter 126 would be to give the person affected more notice of any proceeding that might substantially affect their rights. And I think the sense of the committee, obviously, in adopting the 30 days rather than the 15, was that on behalf of the proponents of the bill to allow more time in those proceedings.
Well, okay,
Representative Phillips.
Thank you. I don't mean to make a point, but we started out with an existing statute of 10.
Uh-huh.
We had a group that was working on the bill come in and say 15's okay.
Oh, if I might interrupt, Paul,
okay.
let me just say, the group didn't come in and say everything's okay. The group came in and testified, if I recall, in two separate parts on the bill, one advocating a certain position and the Oregon State Bar saying they had these concerns. Then they went away and came back with the proposed amendment. The committee, which chose the additional 15 days in lieu of the proposed agreement that the bar didn't seem to have any big objection, and anyway, it was the subcommittee's decision.
Well, okay, I guess I'm missing one essential point here. We're going from 10 days to 30 days. What's the problem? Did you have evidence that people weren't getting notice in the 10 days versus the 15 days and now the 30 days? And if you extend it to 30 days, which is a lengthy period of time, for the behalf of these people, which may indeed be good, what are the ramifications on other folks? I mean, I understand now who's coming in, but why, I guess?
Well, as I explained, the protections for the person whose rights are affected by these proceedings, it was felt by the committee that the advocates had originally come in at 30 days, I believe. That's my recollection.
Okay.
And then they came back in with an agreement with the Oregon State Bar and changed it to 15 days. The committee, and I don't even recall whether there were any dissent or objections, Paul, decided that we'd leave the original 30 days in.
Well, okay.
Representative Phillips.
One more question. Did you have any testimony or do you have any evidence in your bill file, because I frankly don't have it in mind, that indicates that there was a problem existing with the 10-day law that initiated a need for change, that the 30 days will assist or the 15 days will assist?
We did from the IRSRF, Oregon Legal Services, on behalf of the United Seniors lobby, to the effect that the 30 days would attempt to grant respondents, that is, the people affected by the proceedings, in guardianship proceedings, the same response period as other respondents in other civil matters. I'm looking back through my file.
Representative Phillips.
Well, again, I apologize to the committee, but the answer said this would make things equal. It didn't necessarily say that there was a problem here that we needed to resolve.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
I think the committee, the subcommittee is the one that makes the policy decisions on whether or not there's an issue that we want to deal with. And this was an issue that was proposed to us for what one wants to define as a problem in the system within this building is subject to interpretation. The committee thought it was appropriate action based on the testimony presented.
Okay, well, Representative Hanlon, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Representative Phillips.
I'll ask you again, can you in your bill file submit to me any evidence of a problem that 30 days will solve other than the reference letter that says this will make it better or easier? I mean, is there a problem out there that we need to address?
Thank you, Representative Phillips. The issue was defined as whether or not those people, primarily elderly people, whose rights might be substantially affected would have the notice rights of any other person that's involved in the civil justice system in the normal course of events. And that was the issue as presented to us, whether or not this person would have the right to respond to a petition as a wife who petitions for dissolution of marriage and husband has a chance to respond, or whether somebody that would file a tort claim in a court would have 30 days to respond to a summons and file an answer, or whether or not throughout the civil justice system the elderly people in this society would be entitled to a similar kind of notice under this bill. That's why we went back from 15-30.
Okay, I now understand the logic and why you did it. I have not had a bit of evidence to prove that we needed to do it, however. So I understand what you're trying to accomplish, but I And I appreciate where you're coming from, but I guess, Mr. Chair, for the sake of discussion, I'd like to move that we amend that to go back to 15 days.
Okay, it's 10.
Well, I know it's 10. The compromise was agreed to be 15.
Okay, Lieutenant Phillips, my understanding 30 days is what the Senate sent us. I don't know if we have the benefit of the testimony on their side, but I'll accept your motion. Representative Phillips moves that on page 2, line 25, is it not?
Yeah, 25.
That where the boldface 30 appears, that be amended to read 15 days.
Mr. Chairman, a question to, I guess, to Representative Heelan. The notice is given to, the notice that we're talking about is given to a person who might be affected by this. Would that include potentially an incapacitated person then, or someone? Because if I read the definition here of incapacitated person, it means an adult whose ability to receive and evaluate information effectively or communicate decisions is impaired, and so on. So are we sending notice to someone who is potentially in that frame of mind?
That was not a subject of discussion, but I am certain that that's a separate policy question. Perhaps we have Ira Zaroff in the audience. If
Representative Hanley, if you'd like to ask Mr. Zaroff to comment briefly.
If I could just follow up on that, the reason for asking that question, and I'm wondering if that's the situation, then I would make some, if there is a way to concede that that is why you might need a longer, better period of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Simply because someone may be dealing with that person and not having information.
It also does refer to or their attorney. Should they have an attorney of record?
I was representing the United Seniors. If you might, this is Holly Robinson, who is a practitioner in this area and can answer these questions better than I.
Thanks.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Mr. Representative Phillips, there should be in your packets information that was put together by the Oregon State Bar Committee on the Rights of the Handicapped, which looked at practices in conservatorships and guardianships around the state. One of the things that was discovered was that service was not being done appropriately, and that in those situations that it was, that individuals were not having enough time to respond. The reason that why we have proposed 30 days as a policy decision is that many times, besides the fact that there are significant rights that are going to be affected, you have individuals who are living in alternative housing type of situations, be it a nursing home, be it adult foster care, be it in a family home where they may not want the person to, in fact, receive this notice. And I think that as a policy reason, it's very difficult, or at least it's my experience, that oftentimes the person gets the notice, and by the time they figure out what to do, the days have passed and it's too late to file objections. We also feel very strongly that given the significant rights that are involved, that these respondents ought to be in the same position as any other civil litigants, because you need time to find a lawyer, to decide what position you're going to take, to decide how you want to handle it, to decide whether or not you can resolve it without filing objections. One other point, Representative Phillips, that I might want to add, is that oftentimes if you have more time to respond initially, the potential respondent may be able to contact an attorney and reach an agreement as to what the guardianship or conservatorship should look like and resolve it prior to going to court, instead of automatically forcing a hearing because you've got 10 days or 15 days and you just file your objections and start what is going to be an adversarial proceeding. I also might add, and there's evidence in your folders in this too, that there are temporary provisions that can be maintained or gotten from a court if you have an emergency situation.
Representative Phillips, would you like to pursue the question?
I guess I won't debate it with you because you haven't identified a problem that exists. You've laid a supposition that it might not work. If you're concerned about notice of delivery or personal service, you can, rather than the timeline, because the problem you laid out, 30 days won't make a bit of difference. But what you want to do then is require certified mail, personal delivery, something rather than personal service, something that requires mailing or personal service. to address the problem you outlined, this doesn't do it.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Phillips, this bill does mandate and require the beginning of personal service. However, I might note that any person that is being sued, regardless of the nature of the lawsuit, should be given as much time as possible to contact an attorney and get the best legal advice possible. And I don't think a person under a conservatorship should be in any other different situation.
Chair, Representative Dix.
I'm just curious what Representative Phillips' problem is with extending it to 30 days. Or what problems he foresees in extending it.
I have not heard that there's a need to extend it to 30 days. And when you say or personal service, doesn't mean that anything's going to be solved. 15 days may indeed expedite the process. Individuals and their financial institutions have raised the issue. And I, since we've let one side up, maybe there's somebody from the bankers that that would want to come up, and I'd like to hear from them. See if they're on the other side. I'd like to hear from them on this.
I had no idea it was a banker's bill, but
yeah, I didn't say it was a banker's bill. They raised some objection and caught me on it, and I'd like to hear from them.
If there's anyone you'd like to invite up,
Mr. Chairman, before we leave,
Ms. Robinson, we have another question for you. Thank you.
Does the 30-day notice provision, does it apply to both conservatorship and guardianship?
Yes.
I have to say that in my reading, I can understand the need for 30 days for the guardianship, but in the conservatorship, I have more problems. The individual is being ripped off. It's just given an additional days in the conservatorship, which is dealing more with an idea of more financial rather than strictly guardian. Then that just is giving the person who's ripping them off that much notice that they better get the job done before the 30 days is up. And I guess I looked at the issue on both. I was concentrating more on the guardianship, and I'm more comfortable with the timeline in the guardianship, but I'd like to have a comment. There is a difference between the conservatorship and the guardianship.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bellamy, if I can answer that question. There was testimony when this bill was presented in the Senate side that oftentimes what happens is individuals procure conservatorships, they get them readily, and then they use that as a way of controlling the person's life, even in lieu of a guardianship. And so the abuses can go both ways.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
I'm not here to discuss a new issue.
No, I'm not saying it is.
We're bringing up a new issue now. We talked about the issue of guardianship versus conservatorship. I'm not here to debate why you're getting conservatorship. I'm sitting here saying that the idea of conservatorship is a little different than guardianship. Somebody comes in and wants conservatorship, and somebody is truly being ripped off, all the extending the days going to do is give the person doing it that much more time. Because you are bringing up a totally new idea when you talk about the conservatorship being used.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bellamy, I think the policy for both is the same, should be the same.
Okay, we have before us Representative Phillips' motion to change.
Mr. Bennett, do you want to come up and testify on this?
Well, if you want anybody to testify, feel free.
You get a 30-second synopsis.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Alan Bennett. I manage a trust department for Pioneer Trust Bank here in Salem. Appreciate the opportunity to speak at this late hour. I will leave something for those of you to look at if you wish. Basically, our concern is that over the years, guardianships, which used to be guardianships of the person versus guardianships of the estate, have been intertwined in the statute. And as we're moving away from the similar nature of the two, unfortunately, conservatorships, which is financial protection of assets, people may be completely competent, but due to physical disabilities or age or otherwise are unable to manage their financial affairs, the proceedings are intertwined with those of the actually incapacitated individuals or alleged incompetent individuals for filing for protection under a guardianship proceeding. We understand all of the concerns that have been raised about placing someone unduly, rapidly under a personal guardianship situation, and what we hope to do and what we've discussed with the bar of doing is, in the interim, separating those two programs so the appropriate ability for a conservator to be appointed to marshal the assets of the person going under conservatorship, protect those assets, stop any abuses, and as my written testimony would indicate, we do have instances where people are being taken advantage of, but that can happen more rapidly and with less opportunity for continued abuse during that during the period of the notice. We just feel that a conservatorship and a guardianship are sufficiently different animals that react to some apparent problems with the guardianship in such a way as to delay the ability for someone to get protection under conservatorship is a serious problem with the bill. We discussed this matter prior to the subcommittee meeting. Both members of the bar and members of the banking community, and I mean, we are institutional conservators. We manage about 80 conservatorships at Pioneer Trust Bank, assets ranging from a few thousand to over $1 million, and so that's where our experience in this area lies. 15 days was a reasonable compromise. The morning of our discussion, I got a call from an attorney who said his client was being, in effect, ripped off by tenants and neighbors, and he needed help, and he needed it fast. To go to 30 days, I think, simply makes the conservator's job more expensive and more difficult, because then he's out there trying to recover assets or collect 30-day stale assets instead of being able to act rapidly. Like I said, I'll leave you with a written discussion in the interest of time, and if any committee member has any question, I'll be happy to expand on it.
Mr. Chair, Rep. St. Dix, are you representing the bank or the association?
I'm a member of the Oregon Bankers Association. I called the association and said I have a real concern with what's going on here, and I plan to come up and testify if allowed, and that's what they knew about that.
But you're not representing them.
Well, I think my view is in accordance with the Oregon Bankers Association Trust Committee, but we thought we had reached a reasonable compromise back a week or so ago.
Okay, any further questions? Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hamlin.
The other point Representative Phillips brings up is, you know, I appreciate Representative Phillips moving to restore this because there was a deal made on the other side of the bench here, but we're the policymakers in this building, not the people that come before us. And so I feel very strongly that because if the purpose is to say that we're abrogating some deal that was made. No, we understand the testimony. We heard it in subcommittee, and we'll hear it here. And we will make our policy decisions, hopefully made on good policy and not on what the agreement was on the other side of the table. And the other thing is, or someone petitioning to take over all of my assets, or petitioning to take over custody of my physical well-being. I treat both of those with the same importance. And hopefully one goes with the other in this lifetime. And I think if there are new policy decisions to be decided, as the gentleman here has said, that they're going to talk about in the interim, so be it. But I'd oppose Representative Phillips' motion to change
this to 15 days.
Mr. Chair, I have one further question if I might ask.
Representative Dix.
Did you offer these amendments in the Senate to amend?
Initially, it was our understanding, we were assured that the bill basically dealt with with personal guardianship. And as I said before, I had no problem with that. It wasn't until later that it was discovered that the hearing process for conservatorships was wound up in the same deal. And that's when we actually came prepared to testify, and then it was felt that if everybody would agree on a 15-day notice period, then we wouldn't tie up the program. I have a couple other concerns relating to whether a person can voluntarily go under conservatorship, but I'm not dealing with those now.
I can appreciate your concerns. I guess I didn't get an answer think that through what you said I got a yes or no.
To my knowledge, the banks did not testify on the Senate side because they thought that only guardianship changes would be wrought by the bill as opposed to conservatorship changing as well.
Okay. At what point did the banks realize that it affected both?
With me on this one.
At the time it came to the House side. At least that's when I was informed we had a problem with it.
Okay. Is there further discussion?